I'm Brendan Marcello, Auburn beat reporter for AL.com, and you're listening to the AU Wishbone.
A miracle in Jordan Hare! A miracle in Jordan Hare!
And according to my sources, it's an almost credible sports discussion.
They're not going to keep him off the field tonight!
On the War Eagle Sports Radio Network.
It's the Wishbone Podcast, your source for Auburn football discussion and commentary. Now, here are your hosts, Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer.
Hello, and welcome to the AU Wishbone and to AU Wishbone TV, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment in association with the WarEagleReader.com and the War Eagle Sports Radio Network. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
There he is. And John, we have once again made, down here somewhere, the move to video. And here's all of us. All right, listen to us on iTunes, find us at theWarEagleReader.com, War Eagle Sports Radio, and of course now on YouTube. That's right. Brought to you, of course, by WhiteRocketBooks.com. And remember, as my little girl always says, like and leave awesome comments. There it is. Words to live by. How's it going, John? We just talked on Monday about James Bond. How have you been doing since then?
Doing fine. Spring practice has started, and it's kind of exciting.
Yeah. JF3 out doing the rope drill and stuff. I'm like poring over every frame of JF3 pulling on a rope.
Some trainer behind him with an elastic band tied to him, and Van's like, what does this mean for the future of Auburn quarterback?
It's like the Zapruder film. Did the rope go back into the left or back into the right? I'm studying it carefully. Like it's 11-22-63, right? So, yeah, that was actually the guy that was pulling the rope that he was pulling on was our other quarterback.
Yeah, it'd be more specific than that.
Tommy John.
Tyler Queen.
Tyler Queen, yes. I actually got a voicemail from the coach today.
Which coach?
Our coach, the coach that calls us. It went something like this. I don't understand something. If Tommy John's had surgery, why does it affect Tyler Queen? That's all I got. Is there a problem?
Okay.
Oh, my screen just did something and totally crazy, and now I can't. What the? Oh, you got. Oh, okay. Wow, I didn't know I could do that. This is crazy. I'm finding out new things all the time about our new setup on this giant monitor here. Anyway, let's get back to business. Let's see. Oh, I got to tell the folks, John, I got a new audiobook out just this afternoon. I just found out about it from the publishers. And this one's really, really special to me, so I want to make sure people know about it. Oh, crap. I hit the wrong thing again. I'm just not having a good technical night. Mars McCoy Space Ranger Volume 2. Now, it's kind of cheesy sounding thing, I know. That's intentional. It's a property the Airship 27 does that's based on kind of like the old Buck Rogers, Flash Gordon, you know, serials of the, you know, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, whatever. And so we were intentionally supposed to ride it like sort of a gung-ho action adventure, you know, like Indiana Jones in outer space, that kind of thing. And I did a 45,000-word novella in it that I'm really proud of, and it's on audio now. So if you go to Amazon and look for Mars McCoy Volume 2, not Volume 1. I'm not in Volume 1. I was just the editor for Volume 1. But Mars McCoy Space Ranger, I think it's called Volume 2, It's me and it's James Palmer. He's got, James has got like a 15,000 word short story at the beginning. And then after that, it is my sort of extended novella. And I think it's one of the more fun things I've ever written. I think people will get a kick out of it. So go check that out on Audible. It's probably like 10 bucks or something. So, all right. Okay, so spring practice started. Tell me what you're thinking about as Auburn goes into spring practice.
I guess I'm thinking about, the same questions everybody else is thinking about. Who's the quarterback going to be? The other question is like, are we even going to learn anything? You know, because all the practices are closed and the information is so tightly controlled. Are we even going to learn anything really, you know, other than like major news if somebody gets hurt or something? And then we, you know, the next thing we'll really know will be a day in April when they, you know, get out there and actually play. We could see these guys for ourselves. So that interested to see the quarterbacks, the linebackers, the wide receivers. Those are the things I really worry about, the offensive tackles. And so that's where my focus is going to be anytime we have a chance to learn or see anything.
Yeah, and we can kind of break that down here in just a minute and go position by position. But I guess let's see, what kind of news do we have? We have a departure. I know that we lost half of our somewhat experienced linebacker half.
Javier Mitchell
had to leave.
Yeah. A guy who's played off and on over the last couple of years and seemed to make some plays when he was in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Seemed to be kind of an athletic guy, made some plays, but he's decided to leave his senior year. And then we had the three guys who were injured who were not going to play during spring. Kerryon Johnson.
Yep.
I gave you the pause.
You see, you do these things for me. I can't be trusted to always
carry on my wayward son.
It's just too much. I just have too much on my screen, John. It's just not good.
So, carry on, Johnson, Trey Matthews, and Tim Denson are injured, and Jeremiah Denson, my bad. Are injured, yeah. And they're going to miss spring practice. I got two, Tim Irwin, Jeremiah Denson. Denson is going to miss spring practice. All those guys are banged up, but some other guys are limited. I mean, you talked about Tower Queen, had surgery. He's, you know, limited. They actually referred to it as being on a pitch count, like he's a pitcher coming back and being babied. And then
you did say pitch.
Yes.
Okay. Just want to make pitch count. You can't say that really fast.
Oh, okay. Pitch count.
You know, when Javier Mitchell was leaving yesterday, when he was leaving campus, you know, I can't see you right now, by the way. I got so much crap open on my screen, I can't even see you anymore. But when he was leaving, the exchange between him and Gus went something like this.
But James, I need you.
So does England.
I just had to use that.
It's okay. I'm just putting up my little sign here for a minute, Van playing with the soundboard. so I think that's somewhere. And some other guys are banged up. I think Kyle Davis and some of the other new players are not 100%, but they're going through practice and doing what they can. So it's interesting to see how the new guys, a lot of early enrollees other than John Franklin, how they do and how they, you know, what kind of impact they can make and if they can make a move on the depth chart and stuff. And the other thing they've talked about is the seniors came up with this motto for the spring for this team of earn it, that they feel like they want everybody to earn it, everything, and they, you know, earn the respect of their teammates and coaches and earn everything in every practice. And that kind of stuff is cheesy and all that kind of stuff. But also I think it matters in the sense that I would point to last year's team and people like Duke Williams who didn't earn it. You know, who didn't work hard and didn't do the things they needed to do off the field and didn't work hard on the field. And that, you know, ultimately led to him getting kicked off the team. So I think, you know, it's a good idea to have this kind of attitude. And we talked about Malzahn's attitude as a coaching staff's attitude too. So,
well, last year's team, You say this year's team's motto is earn it, and I like that. Last year's team's motto was please give it to me even though I haven't earned it in some cases. Mm-hmm. And also last – and then by the end of the season, last year's motto was
– please clap.
All right. Keep it done.
I know what you want to do, John.
Dispel once and for all with this fiction.
You want to dispel this fiction, don't you, John? Because if you did,
and I say huge,
it would be huge. If we dispelled this fiction, it would be huge. And after I've played all those sound bites, all I want you to do is
please.
All right, I'll stop. I'll stop. But I had those new ones. I just had to roll out. I had those new ones. I just had to roll them out. I had the Bond one left over from our James Bond episode on Monday. And by the way, for those out you, there's quite a few of the Wishbone listeners that now listen to the White Rocket Show, especially since you've been on more of them lately, so they get the two of us together there too. Lord knows why they want more of us, but, you know, I guess some people do. And I'm going to have the first of our two James Bond episodes up on the podcast probably tomorrow about noon. We did the whole thing on video, and it's up on YouTube now. But I'll have the audio version of the first half up sometime Friday afternoon probably. So there you go. Let's see. Did you already address the Michigan thing?
No, I just – you know, everybody's been freaking out because Michigan and Jim Harbaugh is having spring practice in Florida this week and at the IMG Academy. And everybody's like, oh, the SEC coaches are upset. SEC fans are upset. And I thought Gus Malzahn had the best response ever. Did you see it?
No. Please tell us.
Oh, Gus, they asked him about it. Gus's response was, yeah, whatever. He was like, I don't care about that. And it was great because it really was like, you know, these other people are like, oh, Jim Harbaugh is in our territory. And Gus was like, yeah, whatever.
That really is good. I don't have a sound clip for that. Oh, by the way.
But that audio is out there of Gus saying that. You need to get it. We need to use it for sure.
Gus says, yeah, whatever. I love when he just dismisses stuff. That's great. That is great. By the way, for those watching on video, I'm wearing tonight my BCS Rose Bowl National Championship pullover, which cost me all of about $20, $15 for the pullover and $5 for the BCS deal. So it's a bargain ghetto version, but hey, you know, it works. So I think it's kind of cool. Let's see. So you want to go through position by position and look at kind of what things look like going into the spring?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Well, certainly quarterback, right? I mean, we want to talk about quarterback because we know that JF3 may be the anointed one, but he's a little guy. I mean, honestly, you know, it looks like Ontario McCaleb out there playing quarterback sometimes. You get that sense?
Not a big guy.
Am I dreaming?
He's not a big guy. Right. And you know, Woody Barrett doesn't come until the fall. So you've got
– Look. Well, hold on. Woody Barrett – well, I got to do it.
Larry Bird's not walking through that door. Kevin McHale's not walking through that door. And Robert Parrish is not walking through that door.
And Woody Barrett is not walking through that door because well, they're not going to name a starter, right, in the spring because they're going to leave it open just to give Woody the – at least for appearances' sake, right? Woody has to report in the fall thinking he has a chance. So you don't give it to anybody in the spring if you have a guy you've already promised a chance to win it not coming until the fall. Fair enough?
Well, and maybe Barrett's the best that he comes and starts in the fall.
There's no way. No sure way. No.
Sure there is.
I don't believe it.
Listen, if Jeremy Johnson and Sean White play at the level they did last year, you know, Tyler Queen is, you know, not healthy this spring, and right. JF3 proves to be very inaccurate or something, maybe they get to the fall and Barrett comes in and grabs it.
I think it's highly unlikely. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
We'll just agree that you're wrong and I'm right, and we'll go from there. Anyway, all right. So you got to think that they're going to give Franklin every opportunity, right?
Yes. And I mean, I think they're going to give all four of them every opportunity. But I think, you know, we can just keep dismissing Queen because he's not the multi-purpose guy. But I think, you know, he was redshirted last year, and he's a talented guy who won a lot in high school and has a lot of ability. And it may be that he comes out of this thing and he's the best guy. So, we kind of assume that either Jeremy or Sean would transfer. One of them would probably transfer, and neither one did. So it may be a situation where if one of them feels like they're in fourth place coming out of the spring, you know, with Woody Barrett coming in, they might transfer, but neither one of them did at this point. So it's interesting to see, and they're going to, you know, give them all four equal opportunities to document the heck out of everything, how they do on every play. Do they, you know, read it the right way? Do they take the right steps? Do they make the right decision? And see who's most productive and who makes the least mistakes. So I hope you've got to think that, you know, as you said, that John Franklin III's running ability makes the difference in moving the offense.
Well, let's take them. I mean, you know, look at the quarterbacks one by one. I mean, Jeremy Johnson, if he hasn't already transferred, he's not going to, because that ship has sailed. Okay. So he's there. Even if he's the water boy, he's there. Sean White's not going to transfer because when he's healthy, he was pretty good. And you got to feel like at least the seasoned backup to somebody with more raw, you know, dual threat ability. Sean's the backup guy you might have to bring in, you know, like they were bringing in, was it Todd? They were bringing in behind Cody Burns in 07, you know, when they needed a little more of an arm. Franklin, if he's not the starter, I'll be surprised. I mean, he's kind of in the Nick Marshall role.
Well, but it could also be a situation where maybe he's not the starter, but they bring him in to run the Wildcat sometimes.
Right, right. That's true. And then, you know, he's never throwing it. And then, because we know that Gus is so insanely predictable with his trick plays, it doesn't make any sense. And then Tyler Queen is interesting. He's a bigger guy than I realized. And, yeah, his high school resume is very impressive. If you haven't heard it, go check it out. He win like three state championships or something in Georgia, up in North Atlanta, in a very competitive area. And I mean, he sounds, it's like his dad's a coach. He knows, he's been around it all the time. He knows the game real well. He's a very impressive sounding character. And I'm much more intrigued by him than I was like this time last year. Of course, the problem is he's limited to, you know, 50 throws, and you got to think his arm, which I believe his arm was actually injured playing baseball. He's a pitcher. Mm-hmm. Rather than football. So each one of them has kind of a special circumstance that leads me to think that they won't be in a hurry to leave either, because like in Jeremy's case, there's no point, or in Sean's case, he just seems like he would be a good backup if he doesn't win it out. And, you know, and then of course Woody might end up getting redshirted or something if everything goes well. Right. I mean, that's what we want, is for Woody to be redshirted and be our solution. We want Woody to be the quarterback when we go into Berkeley, right, to Cal in like 2019 or something like that. Remember that?
You're saying John Franklin III this year, next year, Woody 2 years from now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And with Sean as the backup, and then we'll just kind of see. I mean, maybe Tyler Queen, Montana or something, and, you know, who knows, but we'll just see. So I'd rather have four or five good quarterbacks and be wondering which one's going to win out than not have any, you know. And last year – last second half of last season, you know. Running back is a situation that I think should be getting a lot more attention than it is. So why don't you address the running back situation? I'm going to tell you why it concerns me so much.
All right. Well, Kerryon's out, as we just said, during spring practice. So Javon Robinson's the man. He's going to get a lot of the carries. Rock Thomas is the other running back there. We've talked about him. You know, other than that, you know, there's not a lot of other guys on the roster. We got Malik Miller, you know, who's a true freshman who just showed up. We got some walk-ons. And then you got some guys who played other positions. You got guys who, you know, played, you got Chandler Cox and Cameron Petway. And Petway could certainly, you know, you know, be the big running back and stuff. But there's a, you know, not a lot of depth at that position in the spring. There'll be more in the fall when Kerryon's healthy and when but there's not, we don't have like six or seven running backs, that's for sure.
And we do have bodies, but they're very specific, and that's sort of the issue I have. Javon Robinson is the one sort of every down SEC, you know, Ronnie Brown type running back, you know.
Yes.
Other than that, you know, because Kerryon Johnson is kind of his own thing, which is hard to quite pin down, but the one thing you don't do with him is send him into the off tackle or off, you know, over center.
Well, but I think that was him as a true freshman last year. I think with the year in the weight room and a year getting bigger and stuff, I think he could be okay if he was pressed into the role. So
we know that Rock Thomas is basically Mario Fannin.
Yes. I mean, he can work his way out of that doghouse, but that's where he's going to start. That's for sure.
He's the flare pass catching in the flat third down back, might fumble. That's Mario Fannin.
Kick returner.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, that reminds me, we've got to find a way to get one of the receivers off the kick return team and replace him with Carlton Davis. Because if we do, our four kickoff returners will be this Davis, Davis, and Davis. Attorneys at law. Call the offices of Davis, 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 and Davis for all your kickoff return needs. That's 1-800 Davis, 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 and Davis.
I was going to say that they actually have addressed the running back depth issue by maybe moving Rudy Ford over to offense some during spring practice.
I think they've moved Rudy Ford over to the doghouse. Did you see that? What's up with that?
I mean, supposedly he's just sick.
What? Like a cold or something?
Yeah, that's what Gus said at the press conference tonight. They said Rudy Ford just he's sick or something. But supposedly they're going to practice him some at offense, and clearly the need would be to practice him at running back some.
He's sick of not getting to play. Well, I don't know. That's people forget
he was depth and safety. So yeah, might as well give it a shot.
Well, he was recruited as a running back, but he's just been a very good safety for us with one famous, you know, one infamous exception play. But, I mean, he was brought in as a running back alongside Peyton Barber. Mm-hmm. The two of them came in together. And I want to say they both flipped from Ole Miss, but I may be wrong about that. And so, I mean, it just seems strange to send him back. It's his senior year, right? Yeah, it's his senior year. But there was a lot of being made of the fact that he was not listed at the beginning of practice as somebody that had an injury, but then he didn't participate in anything. He wasn't out there with the first defense or the second defense. So people wondering if he was in trouble or something. But I hope it's just that he's got a cold. That'd be fine with me.
That's get over that tonight. That's what the word.
Okay. All right. So the running back situation, Malik Miller is interesting. I mean, I think he's kind of another Eric Smith. He blocks. He's kind of a low power guy. You know, Gus has been high on him for years. You know, apparently Gus has been following him since way back in high school. He's like, he says he's got every tool you need to be a successful running back in our offense. And that's all good. We need, you know, utility players like that. I'm just concerned that our running back situation is getting a little specialized. We got a lot of specialists, but we don't have very many general practitioners. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So,
and it is a little bit scary in the sense that Javon is the guy. I mean, the whole plan is for him to get, you know, 30 carries a game for 12 games. And if he's, you know, can't go for an extended period, we're going to have some issues probably. So,
well, but that was the plan we thought last year, and he didn't, that plan did not materialize. So, I mean, if he's in the doghouse or has that nagging ankle injury or whatever this fall, I don't know who they're going to turn to.
Are they going to turn to Kerryon Johnson or Rock?
Fannin. Well, no, Kerryon's not Fannin.
I think Kerryon has all the talent in the world. I think
yeah.
A year from now, I think this fall he could play – you know, a lot if he needed to. But I think a year from now, he could be an every down SEC running back and be a star.
Who is he? I mean, he's like the first running back in years. I can't think of anybody that I compare him to.
I mean, I think he's like a, you know, more slender version of Carnell, honestly. I think the guy that I compare him to, honestly, isn't an Auburn guy. It's the guy that played for Georgia last year. What is his name?
Sony Mitchell?
No. Sony Michelle, yes. Yeah. That guy for Georgia, who had to pick up the slack when their when their star running back got hurt, he had to take over and be the guy. And I think Kerryon Johnson is a lot like Sony Michelle. And Sony Michelle was fine last year. He averaged 5.3 yards a carry in the SEC, and like 17 carries a game. So I think I think that Kerryon could put up a similar level of production if he was given the same opportunity.
We did talk last year, right, about how the Sony Michelle's cousin might be coming to Auburn, Curtis. Yeah. Curtis Mathis.
Oh my gosh.
And his other cousin, Sam. Samsung. We're gonna lose our viewers. They're bailing as I speak. I'm sorry. Receiver. We haven't talked about wide receivers. We have an embarrassment of riches coming in this fall, but we have Kyle Davis on hand right now, and we have the guy we stole from Georgia, Darius Slayton, I believe, that redshirted maybe.
That's right.
We have a couple of the guys back, Stanton Truitt Cathy. No, that's the guy that sells chicken.
Name the two senior wide receivers on the Auburn roster.
Samsung and Curtis Mathis? I don't know. Who are they?
I don't know. Should be up. Marcus Davis.
Say what?
Marcus Davis.
Oh, Marcus Davis, of course. Yes.
And Tony Stevens.
Tony Stevens. Now, see, when Tony Stevens came in, he was supposed to be a world beater. Mm-hmm. Didn't we steal him from Texas A&M or something? I think we got him away from the crowd over at College Station. And he hasn't really done a lot.
No. So, I mean, those two guys, you got Jason Smith, you know, showed a lot of ability. We gave him the ball last year, but we didn't let him touch the ball very much. Truitt was hurt the whole year. You know, we got Ryan Davis. He kind of had the one play, the trick play at Texas A&M. Darius Slayton redshirted last year, but he's, 6'2", 185. Looks like he's got some good ability. And then you got the guys coming in this fall. You got Kyle Davis. So, but I think
And I say you.
That's right. I can't wait to get that. To get that group coming in this fall. But we've already got Kyle Davis.
Somebody else.
If only Kyle's career has moments like Chris's, we'll all be happy, right?
That's all right.
Amen. So we'll see what happens with that. We're just going to – I mean, the question there is how soon can the new guys work their way into the rotation, I guess?
They certainly should not be intimidated by that group of talent that's on hand. So,
Offensive line. There've been some shuffling around. What formula are they finding? Do you know?
Well, I mean, they got the three guys who started last year returning: Braden Smith, Austin Golson, and Alex Kozan. Those, at center and the two guards, those should be the same. We have, two, I would say there's, a couple of guys who are contending at tackle. Darius James, the transfer from Texas, and Robert Leff are probably the leaders right now. And you got the four guys who came in last year who redshirted, Caleb Kim, Mike Horton, Tyler Carr, Bailey Sharp. All four of them, were highly recruited offensive linemen that a lot of schools wanted and came in last fall. And so there's some thought that maybe Horton could win one of the tackle jobs too, as the other guy. So I think they're, probably going to be backups this year, but I think you got to feel pretty good about the depth with those kind of guys. And you still got guys like Xavier Dampier, Jordan Diamond, you know, as backups, Markel Harrell. So those kind of guys are around as backups in case we need them. But you got to feel pretty solid between that and the guys we got coming in this fall. So,
and yeah, I feel so good. You win football games primarily in the SEC with your offensive and defensive lines. And we've got offensive and defensive line young talent, those guys that were redshirted, like you're talking about, the new ones, the defensive line coming in. I feel good about our offensive and defensive lines for several years to come, and that's a very good feeling.
Well, and then I heard some good stuff about Derrius James already coming out of practice. That he's, you know, people think he could be somebody who could really push people around. So that's exciting.
Excellent, excellent. Defensive line then. I believe that we've got Byron Cowart on the starting front now, as well as Carl, right? So, Montavious Adams wasn't out there. What is he? What's up with him? You know?
I think he's just a little banged up. I mean, I think people think he's going to be there. So I think it's, they're not worried about it. So no, I mean, I think if we had to play a game tomorrow and start a 4-man defensive line, and it'd probably be Coward, you know, Montravius Adams, and then, you know, either Devereaux Lawrence or Dontavious Russell at the other tackle, and Lawson, and probably Byron Coward at those two ends. But you know, there's some other guys out there. We got the freshman coming in. You know, you got guys like Prince Tagawangu was redshirted last year.
Maybe he
competes for the defensive end spot instead of Coward. You know, maybe the guys who are Marlon Davidson and one of those kind of guys comes in and beats him out and gets a spot. So I think you got to feel really good about the depth and the level of talent that we have. You know, you do got to have three guys deep at the defensive line, of guys that could play SEC football. I think we've got that.
I feel really good about our African royalty guys. I mean, they both sound like, you know, really talented guys that are going to contribute. The dude is so tall, rangy, and everything. It just sounds very promising. Zipping along here through the last couple of positions, linebacker, obviously, we talked about already a little bit as a concern because we have Trey and then, you know, a bunch of rookies basically, but hey, lots of playing time available.
That's it. It's Trey Williams and, you know, throw your hands up in the air and hope some guys can play.
It's the no-name linebacker core.
It really is, but I mean, they don't have experience, but you got to think they can make some plays. We got guys like Richard McBride and Darryl Williams that were redshirted last year. You know, that Darryl Williams wasn't redshirted, but McBride was. You know, guys that have been around a little bit, like Cameron Toney, true freshmen like Trey Threat. So you got we need to talk about the Paul James as a, you know, the defensive end, outside linebacker, the junior college guy. Maybe they have him listed as a linebacker in the depth of the official Auburn depth chart. I think most people think he's going to play defensive end, but maybe he plays outside linebacker, or they move the other guy they've talked about is that that they would move the other defensive end. What was his name?
Don't.
Tall guy, played defensive end last year. I'm completely blanking. That they would move him to linebacker. But, I think it's a concern. I mean, I think part of it is it's not the end of the planet because we're not going to play four linebackers ever probably. And a lot of teams we play, we're going to be a nickel. We're going to play two linebackers at the most in those games. Certainly the first game we play, we're going to play Clemson. They're going to be come out in three receivers. So we're going to play the nickels starting off the whole game against them. So I think the depth there isn't as big an issue because we don't, you know, many games we're not going to be playing three or four linebackers at once. So
Yeah, you got to think that we can work our way around that, though. And like I said, you know, playing time is this. And I think we're actually recruiting a bunch of linebackers for next year's class who are supposed to be better than anybody that was available this year, really, for us. So, you know, not signing many this year just means that we'll be able to pull several of those guys in next year, and it'll be a good linebacker class. So,
right. Jeff Holland is the guy I was trying to think of.
Oh, Jeff Holland. Yeah, of course. Defensive backs, I mean, I think we're in pretty good shape there, right? I mean, Carlton Davis obviously is known quantity. We'll get Trey Matthews back. We've got the Ohio State transfer coming in, whose name I always forget.
So, there's two safety positions, you know, and we got Steven Roberts and Nick Ruffin came on at the end of last year. We got Trey Matthews and Rudy Ford. So, I mean, you know, we can play – Rudy Ford was playing nickel at the end of the year. That seemed to work. So maybe we play him at nickel, and then we got basically Matthews, Ruffin, and Roberts for two positions. You got to feel pretty good about that. And at cornerback, you got Carlton Davis and then an open spot on the other side. Maybe it's Dean, the Ohio State transfer. You know, maybe it's somebody else. Maybe it's Javaris Davis, you know, one of the other kids that came in last year, Tim Irwin. So I think that's the that's the idea, that it's going to be one of those guys to, you know, take over that other spot. But, you know, I think you got to like Dean. You got to like his size. He's a bigger guy. He's 6'2", 205. So you got to feel pretty good about that. Yeah, I mean, I think the secondary is a position I'm – among all of them, I'm worried about the least.
Right. Right, absolutely. And then the kicking game, I mean, we got our we're pretty solid there, I got to feel like.
I mean, you know, you got to feel like the punting was good last year. We got the punter back. You know, the Kevin Phillips punted last year, and he's back again, so that's going to be fun. And then you got to feel like the kicking was fine last year. Carlson's back. Again, he's only going to be a junior. I think he had some ups and downs last year, but I think he'll be fine. So
Yeah, I feel good about it. And we got plenty of people that can return, so as long as they can hold on to it. Yeah, so I mean, I feel pretty good. I mean, I give you a little quick preview here. When we, you know, we have the barbecue show coming up in a few months, gloriously, and I'm thinking that barbecue is going to taste a little bit better than people maybe thought it was going to taste a couple months ago.
It may, but the schedule is very hard. That's a problem.
It is. It is. I wish, you know, it's funny how when they said we were going to play Clemson this year, everybody's reaction was, and I'm still saying, but now for two reasons, right? I mean, I don't want to play them because they're Clemson, but I also don't want to play them because they're this Clemson who I'd rather play in the playoffs than play, I'd rather play them in the
playoffs. Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs.
That's where I want to play Clemson, not in freaking September and Jordan Hare, but We went from having a streak that went back to the early Eisenhower administration over them to them having a streak now. The last time we beat them was a national championship season. You believe that?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of disgusting. Let's see. I think it's time for Mira to say
Factoid of the Week.
Factoid of the Week.
And I had another factoid for you, but I kind of sort of lost it. But I do have another one for you.
All right.
And that is, I found out today in an interview with an Auburn recruit that I was listening to that Coach Travis Williams, T. Will, has an Xbox in his office that he plays NFL or whatever, Madden, against the recruits.
Nice.
Isn't that awesome? I like that a lot. There's your factoid. Now, as we move right along, let me bring Mira out here. That was the wrong one I was thinking of there.
It's time for listener questions. On the AU Wishbone Podcast.
Mira wanted to be on the show tonight, by the way, and I told her she needed to go to bed. She likes to try to steal the show, and I never would have gotten her off here. I know there were people that would have liked to have seen her, but she is a ham, so she never would have left. Maybe we'll get her on for a special appearance some night. All right. What have we got in the way of listener questions?
We got a couple of listener questions. The first one is from Ross Hatcher, who emailed us at auwishbone@gmail.com. And he said, can you rank the SEC coaches in order of who has the hottest seat headed into 2016?
I don't think it's Gus, honestly. I know that there's some people that think that it is. I don't think it is. Do you? Before you say, answer that. Let's go with that one. Do you think he's?
Well, it's we have. Let's rank him. So if it's not him, who is it? Les Miles.
Right. I'll have to go. He got closer to getting fired last year than Gus did. You tell me that's not true.
It's true. Vanderbilt coach.
Yeah. If it wasn't Vanderbilt, absolutely. Since it is Vanderbilt.
I would say with the off-the-field stuff going on, Butch Davis's job is in real trouble right now. This off-the-field stuff is really bad for Tennessee, and they better get it cleaned up and not have a bunch more incidents. Or Butch Davis, despite the rebuilding and the great recruiting and all that stuff, he's going to be out of a job. And then Kentucky is always kind of – yeah, that's another option. Missouri just hired a coach. Georgia just hired a coach. Florida's coach is in the second year. It's not going to be any of them. So,
not Alabama's coach, is it?
Yeah, I could see Mullen leaving for his choice, but I don't think he's going to get fired. Although I do think they'll be much worse without Dak Prescott. Freeze is not going anywhere, and Bielem is too entertaining. They're not getting rid of him. Sumlin could get fired. They could have that's another scenario where they could absolutely melt down and finish last in the West. They could fire Kevin Sumlin.
So think about this. You just reeled off like six coaches that are as every bit as on the hot seat as Gus. So who do you think is number one? Is it Les Miles? Is it Sumlin? Is it Gus? Is it Mason? See, the thing about Mason and Kentucky is that those are programs that have a little more tolerance for having crappy years. I think it's the ones that are at programs that always want to compete at the top. And then they're having a crappy year, like LSU, like Auburn last year, like Texas A&M. That's the ones that are seats a little bit hotter. In other words, I think the patience is a little greater at a school like Vanderbilt or Kentucky, where they're just kind of like, what's that little emoji thing people make where it's like this?
So what me worry kind of.
Yeah, that right, exactly.
So yeah, I that's fair. They have more patience, so I would probably put someone number one.
Okay, well, where
I
do you
think rank the running off the two quarterbacks thing is bad, bad, bad,
bad, bad, bad, bad? Where do you rank Les Miles then? I mean, it's almost like he went from DEFCON 1 to everything's fine. I mean, it was almost exactly like what happened with Tuberville in 2003-04,
Well, that's what I was going to say. I think he's had his Tuberville moment, his JetGate moment, and I think he's, I think they have a lot of talent this year, and I think they're going to be good, and I think he's going to be fine.
Well, that happened at the exact middle of Tuberville's tenure. He got five more years after that. Mm-hmm. So, God, Les could be there until the next decade.
Okay. Here's our other question. This is from Auburn Elvis.
Yay.
And it says, "Dear John, the Auburn family has gotten a lot of mileage out of pretending to have unrealistic expectations. What are some other topics we can use to troll Van?" He says, "That's my podcast question."
I have a can't let go about something sort of like that, but what topics can you troll me with? I'm very trollable,
Well, I was going to say a couple topics come immediately to mind. The first is Van's love for the drop back, look around passing offense.
Oh my God!
And the idea that Auburn would hire a coach who would implement that offense, do away with the Gus offense, and move to that offense.
Yeah, Elizabeth, I'm coming to join you, honey.
So I think that would be, up there for Van. And then also I think, if you want to say good things about Iron Man 3, that's probably up there.
These are all very, very trollable points. I don't know. That's his question. That's Auburn Elvis. Auburn Elvis lives to drive me bonkers. We did get another question, or actually it wasn't specifically to us, but I intercepted it on Twitter, and I thought I was – it was a poll that somebody was doing, and it said if you could go back and watch one Auburn player play live in person at Auburn again, who would you want to see? And the poll, the players they had listed were like Bo Jackson, Chris Porter, and Frank Thomas.
Oh.
And I thought, well, I can think of several.
I mean, again, like Chris Porter wouldn't even be my first pick among the basketball players.
No.
I mean, I saw Barkley play in person at Auburn. I wasn't enrolled then, but I saw him play. I went to a game one time in Auburn when Barkley was and Chuck Person were on Auburn's team, and we played Kentucky, and they were the number one team in the country. They had 2 7-foot guys. They had Melvin Turpin and Sam Bowie on the team. Sam Bowie was picked ahead of Michael Jordan that year. So – Barkley, but also Chris Morris was a great player to see in person. Mm-hmm.
I have him on my list. I do.
And Chuck Person was one of the best shooters ever. So those on the basketball side, that. But there's plenty of great football players I'd love to to go back and watch. I mean, Tracy Rocker or Takiya Spikes,
See, the thing was that as far as basketball, we got to do our basketball. Every year we talk about doing our basketball show, we never do.
Okay.
But we got to do it. Chuck Person was awesome, but he wasn't spectacular in terms of exciting to watch. He was just steady. Mm-hmm. But Chris Morris was always exciting. He would dunk and do all the crazy stuff and everything. He was like a wild card. But here was my list. I mean, certainly Bo. I saw Bo play live. The thing about Bo, though, was that the teams that he was on, his freshman year was a great team. But after that, there was never a passing game with Bo's teams. And so it was always just hammer Bo and whatever other running back, Lionel James or whoever else, Brent Fullwood. And it just that offense was not terribly fun to watch. It was fun when Bo would break loose and take an 80-yard run like on Georgia Tech or something, but that didn't happen all that often, And so, watching Bo is kind of like watching Michael Jordan, where you just keep waiting for the crazy dunk and you can go a whole game and never have one, You kept waiting for Bo to do something Superman-like, and there were many games where he didn't. He just would get like 5 yards a carry, 5 yards a carry, I mean, he was amazing, but Bo didn't in 4 years or three and a half, really. Bo didn't give us game after game after game of highlight film. He just didn't. He has plenty of highlight film, but it came in, certain little places. That's why I say that if there's one player that I still think, is you look back on and is just you're never going to go wrong, pretty much, is Cam. I mean, I realize the time frame, 85 versus 2010, it's going to take a little while longer for everybody's perspective to kind of even out. But I'm telling y'all right now, and I've thought this since the day one, Cam Newton was more jaw-dropping to watch on a game-to-game basis than Bo Jackson.
I'd say that's fair.
Because Bo did not always get the first down by a lot. And Cam always got the first down. And then Cam would have those Bo-like moments. They weren't like an F-15 going down the sideline, but they were like a Humvee plowing up the middle, And it was just amazing. I had more jaw-dropping moments with Cam in 1 year than Bo in at least two.
I could see that. And also, I really, I remember we were in the stadium. I went to his first game, the opening game of that season, and I thought, at one point he had a really long run, and I thought, I think he's going to be pretty good. But you didn't have no idea what you had. So
not until South Carolina.
Yeah.
South Carolina game was like game three. That's where he tore it loose.
That's right.
Yeah. I went to the Bo Auburn versus Mississippi State game in his Heisman year, and it was the most boring football game I've ever watched. Auburn scored 3 touchdowns in the game. None of them were longer than like 10 yards. Bo never had a long run. I mean, it's like going to a Chicago Bulls game and Jordan never dunks. You know, you're just like, nah, that was okay. I'm glad I got to see it, but, you know. Here was my complete list. I had Cam, I had Bo, Charles Barkley, Chris Porter, Chris Morris, Damian Craig. I haven't forgiven you yet, Damian, but you're on the list. Frank Thomas was on the other person's list. Yeah, big Frank. I saw an Auburn baseball game with Frank Thomas, and it was just freaky. I think I've mentioned that before, right? Frank on the baseball field with 8 little guys. It looked like a dad out with his 8 kids playing ball in the park. You had those that are watching on video. You had the other 8 players and Frank Thomas. my hands are very far apart right now, so. Cadillac, I think, was fun to watch just because he could do some spectacular things. He was so quick around the corner. And Trey Mason in 2013, at the end of the season, he was right up there with any of them. And then lastly, this one's for you, John, the entire 1988 defense.
That's right.
I could watch the 88 defense every day of the week, just dismantle people. What they did to Tennessee, small children had to have their eyes covered.
I love that defense.
Weeping at what they did to that Tennessee offense. Oh, it was child abuse. They called in the Family and Child Protective Services after that game. Put those Tennessee players in a little van and drove them to foster care. Sad.
Freaking LSU.
You and your earthquakes. I flew to Singapore that game in 2005, not 1989, 2005. I flew to Singapore. That game was the only sports broadcast available on the plane to watch. I flew back 2 months later. 2 months later, I flew back home from Singapore. What was the only sports broadcast on that plane to watch? The 88 Auburn LSU game. It's like an LSU guy was the pilot and knew I was on the flight. Talk about trolling me. American Airlines trolled me to Singapore and back.
Like think about all those people that are arriving in Singapore, and they're like, man, Auburn had that one.
And I'm like, I know. This is really what I want to be staring at.
I can't believe you didn't, like, burst out in the middle of the plane and the marshals like, that's it, you're out.
Oh, that yeah, they could chuck me out the airlock. You know, I'd have gone happily. Get me off this plane, man. No kidding. Let's see. We have here it is. Do we have any around the SEC this week?
No,
I don't think we do really.
I like your graphic.
Got a new graphic. Yeah, I got to talk so the camera will stay on me for a second. That's my around the SEC. All right. Well, I won't play the music since we don't have one. Let's see. Lastly, I guess we've got to wrap up here in a second so our wives don't kill us. Lastly, we've got our new feature. So we got our Can't Let Go feature. I'll let you think about it for a second, see if you even have one. If you don't, that's no problem. I just sprung this on us the last couple of weeks. But here's my can't let go thing. This is where I troll myself, okay? This is sort of our topic for the week. This will probably end up being the title of the episode. I always think of a title of our episode after we're done and what we end up talking about. So self-trolling may be the episode this week. I'm not sure. Nothing is more Bama than declaring Auburn to somehow be substandard as a football program by comparing our accomplishments of the last few years to theirs when they are in the middle of one of the most historically dominant periods ever. There, I said it. I'm not ashamed to say it. So, yeah, compared to them over the last 7 or 8 years, we are not quite as dominant as them. Nobody is. But compared to the other 120 teams in the FBS, we're like second. And this is where I always talk about the Auburn myopia, which is, and the Alabama is part of it. They fuel the fire, right? Which is that there's 120-something teams in FBS. I used to say Division I, but, hey, I figured out FBS finally. There's like 120 teams, and we act like there's two. And if we're not doing quite as well as Alabama, then in our own eyes, we're an abject failure. And then the Alabama fans just love to support that theory and rub our faces at it and tell us, see, Auburn ain't no good because you ain't as good as the Tide. See, so I just feel like we need to take a step back, take a breath, and remember that out of 120, if Alabama's the number one program right now, we're like number two. That's what I can't let go. What do you think?
I can't let go calling it Division I instead of FBS. So.
well done. Well played. Well played. All right. So I think we've come pretty much to the end. Any other, before we start signing out here, any other things that we have learned I guess we can do what we learned, right?
The only thing that happens that we didn't talk about is the combine and a couple Auburn players, Ricardo Lewis and Jonathan Jones, both had great combines, and it's going to help your draft stock a lot.
Yeah, Jonathan Jones, man, who knew? He just tore the cover off of it. That was pretty amazing. And it was funny. People were talking about Ricardo Lewis. Wow, he's so fast. I wonder why he didn't have a better receiving career at Auburn. And people are like, they're doing this right, you know. La, la, la. La, la, la. Waving their fingers, you know. But maybe his hands will get better in the pros and he'll have a good NFL career. I generally don't pay much attention to the NFL. I'm just not interested in it. But I do like it when it's a place for Auburn players to go on to find other rewards and have other victories and have a nice professional career after they are finished for us. But, yeah, that was pretty cool. So, and meanwhile, did you see that poor old Duke Williams, kind of the opposite. He really had a very, very poor – I think that what Duke has shown us is that the workout strategy of Pringles and daytime television on the couch is not the best way to prepare for the combine.
That's right. So I think he probably blew up his draft stock. And if he had done it the right way and gone to train with the right people, I think he'd have done much better in the combine. But he didn't, and he can't get it back. So.
He's like, you know, John Belushi told me that little chocolate donuts are the best way to train. Remember that old Saturday Night Live bit?
Breakfast Champions.
Yes.
He's doing the Bruce Jenner. He's training for the decathlon. He's eating little chocolate donuts, and he's smoking a cigarette, too, at the same time. He literally has a little chocolate donut and a cigarette, burning cigarette in the same hand. And then they show him, and he's running on the track. He's doing the high jump and doing the marathon.
It just didn't work for Duke, you know.
No, if you're too young to remember this, Google John Belushi Breakfast of Champions and you'll see it. But no, I mean, and again, Duke has all the talent in the world. He's thrown away. The other question is like, you know, Auburn is going to have a pro day where we have Auburn players there and pro scouts come. Should we let him participate? And probably the answer is no.
Yeah. Well, why do you say that? For those that, you know, what would your rationale one way or the other be?
I mean, he had a chance to be part of Auburn, and he blew it. You know, why should we go back and give him the opportunity to use our facilities to promote himself when he didn't want to respect the, you know, the team and the rules and the coaches when he was here?
That's fair. All right. So what did we learn? I've learned tonight that I am eminently trollable, and I will even troll myself. What have you learned, John?
I've learned that I'm, you know, wide receiver and linebacker, it's a concern after even more than I thought, maybe. So,
yeah, facing cold reality, talking about it makes it even more depressing.
Sure.
All right. Well, we're going to get on out of here for another week. Don't forget to pick up Decades of Dominance. If you hadn't, I think everybody's got it by now. We sold 8 million copies of it. We're about ready to retire on the profits. Have I not been mailing you your $1 million checks?
No.
All right. I'll get on that. But no, pick up Decades of Dominance, Lorendo, of course, and Season of Our Dreams, our three White Rocket books about Auburn football. Cool stuff. Otherwise, we're going to get out of here. I'm not going to even do the audio bit because it just gets messed up over the video. So we'll just cruise on out of here. And in post-production, I'll put all that stuff on. So, John, all I can say is War Eagle.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the Wishbone Podcast. All past episodes are available at auwishbone.podbean.com and via iTunes. For more Auburn fun, join us on Facebook at facebook.com/auwishbone and follow the show on Twitter at auwishbone. War Eagle.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.